This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with, what's your name again? Dave Bourne.
Are you ready
Brent
for the show today?
Here,
Happy Valentine's Day, buddy.
Happy Valentine's Day. On this beautiful Willamette Valley day, and never mind the weather, it could be worse. It could be much, much worse.
We could be having a blizzard.
And, you know, every day I try to remember also that we wake up in Oregon and that we come to the United States. And sometimes with all the whining and the moaning in America about what's wrong, you know, we don't wake up in eastern Ukraine and wonder whether or not we're going to be Russians in, you know, next year, or whether or not we'll be torn apart by war. There's so many blessings that we just take for granted so much, and that we work overtime as Americans trying to find things that are wrong with our society and wrong with them. Instead of like, let's start with how many blessings do we have to even be here?
Yeah.
Right.
I got a roof over my head. Car to drive to work in, a great job, good friends.
And, all right, we're going to have you tee up that that song.
What song?
Oh, it's a country song. We'll find it on the break, and we'll tee it up about an attitude adjustment for Americans, because they're so much in a hurry to see what's wrong with people.
And yeah, right.
I believe most people are good. I really like that song.
That's a good one,
Sure there's schmoes, sure there's schmucks, and sure there's injustice.
Yeah, there's always those guys.
I just don't like people to think that so many people, I mean, everything is motivated by either greed or racism or hatred and this and that.
Yeah.
It's driving me crazy. Anyway, some fun stuff. Hey, welcome to Newsmakers, by the way. We're going to talk about your pocketbook today. We're going to talk about some things having to do with the legislature and how it affects your pocketbook and taxation. So this is a good topic, really important to talk about while they're trying to flesh it out. So you have an opportunity to talk to your legislator about it and some things for you to consider. Right now, we've got Greg Roach on the line. We're going to talk to Greg really quickly about the Hot Rod Show and then dive into some of these things that are going to affect your pocketbook. Well, all of Oregonians, really.
Right.
And some insight, actually, in some of these taxation things and how they break down to the real life. Okay. Say, hey, Greg, you with us?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, welcome. It was nice to talk to you again. Thanks for reminding us. The Road Show is this weekend. Roadster Show.
Roadster Show.
It is.
Starts tomorrow. Today's Thursday, so it starts tomorrow. What are the hours tomorrow to come down and see you?
Starts Saturday.
Saturday. Oh, I thought it started tomorrow.
That is great.
Oh, boy, you're going to get me in trouble.
People are doing banging on your doors.
So it's Saturday and Sunday, and where is it at?
It's at the Jackman Long Building at the Oregon State Fairgrounds.
That's a nice building.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you today. Right. I was on the highway in the torrential rain, and I thought, you know what I'm not doing this weekend? I'm not throwing the ball around.
Right.
I'm not gardening. I'm not outside cleaning, washing my car. And I thought, you know what? The Roadster Show is a very cool thing that we can go
indoors
and do something different. It's indoors.
Yeah.
It's a family thing.
Yeah, believe it or not, we kind of like a little bit of rain. We don't like it to be too nice, so everybody goes outside and works outside, you know?
True.
It's a great place to go. So we like a little rain. Bring some people here.
All right, so
have a good time.
Dave tells me that you're loading in exhibits
starting
cars
tomorrow?
Today.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, we're loading a few in today, this afternoon, and tomorrow will be the main day.
And what have you seen that got you excited?
Well, I haven't seen anything yet because nothing's here yet. But we got a lot of nice, exciting cars coming. We got some big, big dollar cars coming. We got the SEMA award winner, best truck in SEMA, and then we have the Pawn Star Show's 32 Ford. Yeah, they don't own it anymore, but they did own it at one time. And we got a lot of nice stuff. We got cars from California, Washington, Oregon. And the one thing we do is, I think there's probably two or three cars or four maybe from the past shows. Everything's new every year. We don't bring back the same car year after year after year. We try to get fresh cars every year, different cars.
Variety is the spice of life. I like it.
It is.
So what is, what is SEMA?
SEMA is especially, I had that written down the other day. It's an automotive show for marketing. It's marketing. It's especially something marketing Association. I can't remember what the E stands for. It's in Las Vegas. It's for all the industry, and any kind of automotive. I mean, every tire company is there, every major car company probably in the world there, and they bring and some. There's hot rod builders, car race cars. There's every product you can put on a car imaginable. It's every year held in Las Vegas, and it's huge.
All right.
The public can't actually go. You have to be in the industry to even be able to go.
Wow. Okay.
And you got some award winners from there. That's awesome.
So that truck is going to be the award winning truck that you had there at SEMA down in Las Vegas. It's going to be here this weekend.
Yep. It's premier showing other than SEMA.
Oh, gotcha.
Greg, okay. Remind us real quickly how you got to launching this. What year was that? And you got a partner. And how did you go about saying, hey, you know what Salem doesn't have? It needs a roadster show.
Well, this is our 13th show. And we've shown, my partner and I both have shown cars for years. And we liked some of the shows, and we didn't like some of the shows that we went to. And we didn't like the way we got treated at shows, and some of them we did. So we took the best that we liked and got rid of the things that we didn't like and started our own show. We handpicked almost everything. I mean, sometimes we get people call us and we say, well, send us pictures so we can see your car. We just don't have an open application form where everybody can put an application in. And then we don't judge them. We give everybody an embroidered jacket for every car owner. So if you have the truck that won SEMA, or you have a $40,000 or $30,000 whatever car, you get the same award. In fact, we have a guy that has, you know, the bumper cars that they had in the used to have at the fairgrounds. So they used to have them over at Seaside, the bumper cars.
Yeah,
We have two of those coming. One is got a motorcycle motor in it. It's all redone, and the other one, I'm not sure. He just sent me a picture of it the other day, and I'm not sure what he's doing with that one. But they're both.
Can I take that on the road? Is that street legal? Okay, I could take that on the road and just like move people around
and
park it with bumper.
See what happens.
Yeah, see how fast you get pulled over, Brent.
Yeah. Yeah, but you might not get a ticket. They probably just shake their head at you. You know?
Yeah, right.
But one thing I want to mention, and I don't know how long we have, but one thing I want to mention, we both worked in law enforcement, my business partner and I, and we are very close to the law enforcement people in the area. And what we've done, last year we donated $1,000 to a deputy at Marion County who's having his wife was having some severe medical problems, so we donated $1,000. This year we decided, a lot of your viewers or listeners would probably hear of the Ronell Singh. He was an officer in Newman, California, that was killed on the 26th of December at 1 o'clock in the morning. He's a legal immigrant that immigrated to this country, and he was killed and left behind a 5-month-old son and a wife. And I've talked to the sheriff that's from that county, and we were just touched by that. We were really touched by that. So we are going to donate $1,000 of our show money directly to that. And we're also going to have things that people can, if they donate X amount of money, they can get on. We have different things that giveaways. We might have a little bit of a silent auction. And we're encouraging, we hope that the public will come and not only, obviously it costs to come to the show, but we hope that they see it in their hearts to give a donation. Every penny of it goes directly to that family. We're not
taking good work, Greg. Good work. So it is Saturday and Sunday, and the location is at the fairgrounds, Jackman Long Building. And the cost, as I recall, about $11 a person, right?
$11 for
kids
adults.
Are free.
Through age 17, free all weekend. And on Sunday, we do Ladies' Day, $5 for the ladies on Sunday.
Wow.
So if you come on Sunday, a man and a wife and two kids, it costs you $16.
That's not bad.
That's a good outing.
What are the hours?
We're 9 to 6 on Saturday, and we're 9 to 5 on Sunday.
You can't go to a matinee for that.
No, you can't.
No, and we've got cars from Oregon, Washington, California. And we got just some beautiful cars. I mean, they're just beautiful.
Well,
hot rods, customs, stock, bumper car. I mean, we got it all.
Everything from a bumper car to award-winning truck.
Yeah,
that's
there
awesome.
You go.
Yeah.
What a fun thing.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for bringing that to Salem. I sincerely mean that, because we had on the founder of the Hoopla,
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And people who said, hey, I want to bring something to Salem and the region. So Greg, you and your partner, you know, Hoopla became, oh, the same people founded Winter Brew Fest, and now they're managing the Cherry Festival. And all these things, they are people who are local who said, I have a passion for this, and I want to create an event for people around me. So thank you for bringing the Roadster Show to Salem.
Yeah, Salem Roadster Show.
Hope hope you get a big turnout.
Real quick before you go, Greg, do you do it? Do you host another show throughout the year?
No.
Is the only one?
This is the only one.
Oh, awesome. All right. Well, we hope
do one really good or two kind of good. But
right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about some of the things the legislature is looking at affects your taxation. Stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, and we're going to talk about, I hope I don't talk too fast, just slow me down.
Take a breath, Brent.
Wild when we're talking about the legislature and how that affects our pocketbooks. Yesterday, by the way, sometimes we have to cycle back of things we have said.
Yeah.
Try to quote President Reagan, paraphrased him at best, and I got corrected.
Yes, you did.
So it was that if you want more of something, then you subsidize it. And if you want less of something, then you tax it.
Yeah.
I still like the idea, if you want to kill something, then you regulate it.
But, yeah.
So thank you, Lieutenant Commander, for the text and giving me... I thought you came in the middle of the show. I should have caught that and correct myself. You don't want to misquote Ronald Reagan.
No.
Because he is quite so quotable. Anyway. Yeah,
very, very so.
All right. There's so many things going through my head. There's going to be a lesson on taxation here, but... because we're swirling around different ways to tax and new taxes, of course. I think one thing you can get everybody on both sides of the aisle to agree to is that Oregon needs tax reform.
It does.
The problem is for the Democrats to do what they want, they won't give up what the Republicans want and vice versa.
Yeah.
So sure, if you want a sales tax, we'll do sales tax, but you have to get rid of the income tax. So that's not going to fly.
Right.
Right. So those things become kind of partisan in nature, and I don't know how you reform this until you get to a situation like we do now, where there's basically only one party in power that doesn't have to cooperate at the legislature.
So I have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my logic thinking. They already have taxes. Why don't they work with what they got? Instead of trying to create new ones.
Yeah.
If you create new ones, you should get rid of other ones.
Well, then that's part of the discussion too. And some of the things, the big thing to hit the news is the resurrection of a gross receipts tax concept. So they say gross receipts tax because they don't want to say sales tax. And it's not a sales tax because it doesn't necessarily happen right at the cash register when you go to the drugstore.
Which is easier because you don't really notice
it
too much.
More invisible.
Yeah, right.
Right? Uh-huh. All right, so this is a tax concept that voters rejected just a few years back.
Correct.
And rejected it with good reason. So a gross receipts tax, the legislature through their process are going to decide who it's going to be applicable to. And there'll be a threshold. So it's how big is your company in terms of sales, and we're going to tax your gross receipts, right?
So the government's trying to reach deeper into your pocket.
Again. Yeah, and they want to do a little class warfare, unfortunately. That's the problem. It's like, if you're of this size, therefore you are a deep pocket, huge corporation, and therefore you are profiting at the expense of society or something like that. That's the attitude that I don't really like. That's where it's a disconnect for me.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so they're talking about companies that have over $5 million in sales. I think that's right.
If I had a company like that, I wouldn't want the government reaching into my profits.
Here's the thing about the sales. It depends on the industry. And we should get the Capital Auto Group guys in here and talk about it, because they're not making a huge margin on cars.
No.
They have to sell a lot of cars. And that was one of the industries that really rose up.
Really?
Where, yeah. And frankly, you know, if we were to have a gross receipts tax and it applied to Withnell and it applied to Robertson and it applied to Capital Auto Group and it applied, you know, to all of the dealers in town, then I'd sell the car at the best price and I'd say, here's the gross receipts tax. And you just have to pass it on.
Wow.
And it should be in black and white for the person who buying the car to, oh, well, the legislature passed. This is what gross receipts looks like. But all right. So the problem with it is that it's compound. So the wheat farmer or the farm is producing, you know, you don't have to agree a huge farm to produce $5 million in sales. Right? And on commodities, margins are not enormous on commodities. And so then they sell it and they get taxed. And then it's processed. So now you got a company, you know, that's processing the food into a packaged product or a consumable product, and they're probably doing $5 million of business. And then you put it on a shipping into a trucking, you know, and maybe it's right here locally, May Trucking, or somebody who's going to move that and move it to into Fred Meyer. And then, well, Fred Meyer has $5 million of sales, certainly, right?
Right.
So now you're taxing it four times before Dave gets to go to the store and buy it.
So that 98 cents TV dinner is now going to be $4.
So there are some offsets. They're talking about it replacing the corporate income tax as a different structure. All right, I'll give them that.
But that doesn't benefit you and I.
No. Well,
because if they don't, why did they not understand if you tax the upper, they just pass it on.
Right, and that's recognized as well. And so there's a couple of offsets in here because obviously this was kicked down a few years ago. And now maybe they're learning from their mistakes. So you want to be fully informed, but they're talking about reducing some personal income tax brackets, actually reducing some personal income tax brackets because they know it's going to result in higher consumer costs, right? Oh, wow. And eliminating a corporate income tax. And here's...
Okay.
Now I'm not a thrill. I'm not thrilled. A fan. I remember the first time I heard about VAT in Britain and the value added tax. It's the same thing,
right?
And how this works and it's the compound effect. So they're talking about eliminating the corporate income tax and that the gross receipts tax will be more level. It's not going to be so susceptible to recessions and the revenue to the state goes up and down, up and down. And that's a valid concern. It's one of the reasons why we need reform, because when the government needs the most amount of money for social services and for all sorts of things, you're in recession, right? And the income tax has plummeted. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're talking about a trough of collections at a time where you need to help the most number of people, right? So they're trying to do smoothing of those collections, and that feel a gross receipts tax will from the larger businesses, because they always have to villainize the larger businesses.
Sure.
Reach into their pockets, because that's just not going to affect you. So you should support this. And that it would smooth it, because they'd still be selling food product, they'd still be selling cars, whatever, in recession. So it would be less of a hit.
Yeah, but passing that on to you.
All right, so...
I'm not a fan.
It's long from a done deal, but we as a populace have to be aware and stay vigilant and paying attention to how this could affect us.
Here's an idea. Yeah. Don't do it.
Always don't do it.
Just don't do it. I mean, when I bought my car, I paid a guzzle tax because, you know, it's a V8. It's not fuel economy. Mm-hmm. And so I paid that knowing it was there on the receipt. You know, part of the price you pay. But this is being forced upon you.
Yep. And Measure 67 from about 10 years ago, that is a gross receipts tax. It's already on the books. And if you're a corporation of a certain size, then your corporate minimum tax is based on your sales. So as you know, many people know, I used to be in the gasoline business and retailed gasoline.
What was your profit?
Oh, penny? At the end of the day, it was less than a penny.
A penny a day?
Oh, yeah. Less than a penny.
How
than
can
a
it
percent.
Be less than a penny?
It was less than a percent, not the profit on the gas, but less than a percent of the total cost of the gasoline ended up as my family's, you know, profit.
You had to sell a lot of gas.
But because you're selling hundreds of thousands of gallons,
right,
of course you're going to sell $3 million, $5 million or whatever, but that doesn't mean you made any money. The first year Measure 67 went into effect, the company lost money because it was the recession, as I recall, and we lost like $40,000, and my tax burden went up.
Of course.
And so the rhetoric about this won't hurt anybody unless you're making $250,000. Nobody's going to pay a penny that doesn't make $250,000, and so on and so forth. All right, I got a couple minutes before we break. I'm trying to decide what to dive into. It's so hard. There's the big lie. There's the big lie. It's huge, and I'm going to save it for after the break because it's really important to not rush through. The big lie about corporate income taxes in Oregon. Anyway, the legislation of gross receipts tax, they want to raise $2 billion of new revenue. And that's really the thing. You ask why. $2 billion of new revenue that doesn't exist before. And they say, well, it's for education. They're always going to say it's for education.
They always say that.
But you and I know that they have to backfill PERS. The reason they have to, they don't have enough money for education is because of our PERS liability. So anyway, Measure 7 passed. Oh, the $5 million of sales. Let me give an example. You could have $5 million of sales and you are selling something you manufactured. It's made of metal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you may have had to build a $500,000 building and buy $250,000 of equipment. And these are pretty conservative. And you're leasing this equipment and you got the carrying costs. And then you employ 50 people and you have $5 million of sales. Suddenly, in the eyes of the legislature, you're loaded with money. You could be losing money, but they still consider this, oh, this is a deep pocket big corporation, and therefore, right? And those examples are all over. You can just start with your local car dealer, right?
They borrowed money to start the business.
Yeah.
And so they got a load of debt. And even if they make $5 million, that barely covers the loans they got to pay back.
I wonder what a regional company like, Wilco or Roth's Fresh Markets and this and that, how is this? I mean, that's not a very high threshold.
No, operating costs are pretty high on that.
So just because they sell $5 million does not mean they're putting $5 million in their pocket. That's not what it means.
No.
It means their sales are $5 million. And there are a lot of companies in America that sell $5 million, $50 million, $500 million, but are not currently profitable.
Remember
how many years Amazon was not profitable?
Yeah.
And that's the disconnect with that party.
Yeah.
And that drives me crazy sometimes. It's like, Let's go back and do Econ 101. Let's get some sort of semblance of understanding. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk the big lie. The big lie in Oregon, because I just read the paragraph moments before going on air, and they are perpetuating the big lie in corporate income tax receipts in Oregon. Stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome. This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Sorry about that, Brent.
Oh, that's right. Hey, thank you, Sylvan, for sponsoring the segment. Hopefully you appreciate what we have to say during the segment. So I was referring to the big lie. And welcome back to Newsmakers, where we do talk about things in the Willamette Valley and Salem Kaiser that affect your pocketbook, affect your quality of life, affect your whole life of satisfaction here in the greater Willamette Valley. All right, so the big lie in corporate tax collections. And this is, I've heard it now for so many years, and I think that some people that say it actually believe it. But it has to do with how they... explain that corporate income tax revenue has declined over the years. Okay, and this was actually part of the discussion 10 years ago with Measure 67 and Measure 66. And if they are informed, if they are knowledgeable about the subject and they throw this out, then they are lying. People like to say disingenuous. The mayor was kind to talk about the counselors
the
other
day.
Yes, he was. He said it's disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is that they're lying. That they're being politicians and saying, I'm for a bridge, just not this bridge. And then somebody needs to stand at the podium and go, where's the bridge you're for? And what are you going to do to make it happen?
Yeah.
For a bridge.
When can we do it?
They're disingenuous. in my example, I'm just going to call them liars.
Okay.
Because to further their agenda of having more income tax revenue and more tax revenue. All right. So corporate taxes, huge decline. In Oregon over the last 25 years, as far as how much money is collected in corporate income taxes. Meanwhile, there's been inflation, there's been economic growth, and this and that. How do you explain that? It's because those evil corporate people do not pay their fair share.
Or they moved out of state.
Nope, it's neither of those is true.
What?
Yeah. What changed is the laws with entities and how they're taxed. So give me an example. See, 25 years ago, let's think of 1990, almost 30 years ago, right? You know, there's a couple different kinds of corporations. The one we think of, you know, the General Motors and Kraft Foods and Walmart, they're, you know, regular corporations. They call them C corporations as their designation, mm-hmm. The letter C. But if you're a small corporation and you may be, you know, self-owned, the S corporation election, S corporation. So I have an S corporation. So do so many small businesses in Oregon. And that 30 years ago, we may not have incorporated, right?
Okay, so pretend I don't know anything about that.
All right.
What does that mean?
So a corporation is basically an entity that you can create, a legal entity that is taxed differently. It has different liability. And the reason that companies do it, I don't care if you have a landscape business or if, you know, you have a timber business, your liability can be limited by having a corporation. So what happened is more and more individuals that own small businesses elected to go with an S corporation, like a self-owned corporation. So we'll call it that.
Okay.
Well, it's not a completely accurate description. But think in terms of smaller businesses that are not this huge multinational conglomerates. It may even be your mom and pop. It may just have a single sole proprietor and be an S corporation. And they're selling services for, you know, you name it, blade sharpening or
right.
tuning up your car. It doesn't matter. They can be a corporation. All right. My corporation makes money on the good years. That money has a bottom line. So
right.
you made $50,000. The corporation pays no tax on that $50,000 because the $50,000 gets flowed through to the personal income tax return. Okay?
Okay.
So that will show up as a corporation that had sales, that made money, that paid no income tax. Of course it didn't pay any income tax. That's not the point of collection.
Right.
So okay. the All big right. lie is that these corporations are not paying any taxes, right? They're not. Look how much less they're paying in taxes than they used to, and so forth, because they are now pass-through entities. If we have any accountants listening, that would be nice, because I know they got their heads buried trying to do tax season.
Yeah, but, right.
they're called pass-through entities. The other one is an LLC, a limited liability company, limited liability partnership. A lot mm-hmm. of professionals will do a partnership. So there's these different entities and ways that you can form your small company. Medium-sized company. An S-Corp can have as many as 99 employees, right? So, but they're pass-through entities. So in our world, we have an S-Corp and an LLC. And if they make money, there's a bottom line, hey, profit. Bottom line, LLC, hey, profit. Neither one is taxed at the company level.
Because it's passed on personal.
Then they pluck those bottom lines and they put them on, you know, your 10W-40. Right, they put them 10W-40. That's a 1040 form 1040.
Yeah.
I think 10W-40. I'm pretty sure that's an oil.
your W-2?
Yeah, no. It goes on your tax return, and they plug them in as additional revenue at a different source.
I see. Okay.
So it's absolutely taxed as income. It's taxed at the personal income tax rates, which are at least 9% in Oregon. Right, that is not small, and of course, since Measure 67, even higher than that. So the big lie is that the corporations are paying less than their fair share, paying less than they used to, and they want to drum that. They used to be X percent, and that was in the news article today. The column was like, oh, well, not back in 1993, they used to be this percent of collections, and now they're only this percent of tax collections. Well, yeah, but that's not painting the right picture. That's a lie. Yes, those are the numbers, but the reason for the numbers is because that income is still being taxed, and it's being taxed on the personal return.
Right.
It just passes through to the personal return. Don't let anybody give you that garbage about how corporations are going, you're skating in Oregon and blah, blah, blah. So that's the big lie, and I hear it so many times whenever taxation comes up and whenever they want to tax business. Whenever I talk to the business, oh, well, you know, our collections, our revenue from corporations have gone so far down, somehow they have to recoup all that and get a higher percentage of money from corporations. Well, the tax code changed, people. It changed. the tax codes changed, and the entities that are allowable for these pass-through forms of business, that's totally changed the ball. This is not even comparable now.
Yeah. So anybody that fills out your taxes, you know that the government gets their money from you.
Yeah.
The government. I mean, all the time.
That income's taxed, but it's now seen. You're going to see it on the personal side of the ledger when the state can release numbers about how much income tax it has received from the personal income tax returns versus the corporate personal income tax returns. It's now seen in the personal side, which gives them great fodder for a soundbite. And that soundbite is a complete misrepresentation that Brent calls the big lie. Okay, got it? Did I explain that okay?
Yep. All right. Almost crystal clear.
Almost. Well, it helps for, in the last 29 years in business in Salem, I've had an S-Corp, I've had a C-Corp, and I've had an LLC. And so, and those things change. And what's best for your small, and I've never had more than like 25 employees, right?
Right.
And those things do change depending on taxation, the taxation laws. And a lot of people went, especially after passage of 67. I hope some of you remember that. A lot of people who, because it only applied to C corporations. Well, a lot of people were C corporations, like, okay, called their attorney. Hey, I'd like to, and the CPA, I'd like to change this, and I'm going to be an S corporation now, and suddenly they're not subject to the tax. This is, again, the disconnect for people of the capital going, how do I get the money? Mm-hmm. And I don't think they factored the fact that all they did, this is this many C corps, and they're making this much money, and we're going to get all this tax. Well, and anybody who could, they went from C corp to S corp, and guess what? They didn't get the tax. So you went through this whole thing, and you think you're going to get this huge money grab, and people found a way around it.
They always will.
S-Corp versus C-Corp. It's right. A distinction. Anyway. Yeah, and the levels we were talking about, $5 million to sale, $2 million. And they're talking about, hey, large companies and large retailers. That's the law in Portland in terms of gross receipts tax. To tack on to doing business in Portland, you pay your gross receipts tax in Portland. They passed their own.
Oh, of course they did.
So, and now we're seeing they're calling them employment taxes, I think? No, they're calling them where they're taxing the employee's wages, right? So, yeah, wage. Yeah, so
a wage tax?
Yeah, it's an income
which
tax.
Which is already, it's already going tax. On.
It's being collected by the employer, and that's how we're funding the transit improvements. All right, we got one more segment. I'm going to make a case. We're going to make a case, and you can argue with me if you like. Sales tax versus income tax. My case, I will show you why a sales tax is a better tool than an income tax. All right, stick with us. Right. We're going to tackle that here on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we're talking about taxation in Oregon today. Before we go any further, before we run out of time,
yes,
let us recognize that it's Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Shout out to the lovely lady who stuck by me for almost 29 years now.
Impressive.
Almost 29 years. Yeah.
You are a pretty nice guy.
She is my fourth wife, but she's been a... No, I'm totally kidding. She's my one and only. So... many shout outs to her and all of you out there celebrating solid relationships and weddings. So, and you have a missus as well.
I do.
Right? Shout out to her too for putting up with you.
Yeah, 13 years.
Yeah, and your car a fixation. And
well, I got to put up with her and her truck now too. So,
anyway, happy Valentine's, everybody, and happy Valentine's especially to the love of my life. So, also, there's so many juicy stuff happened in the legislature we're not going to get to today. I saw the Speaker of the House speak this week. Tina Kotek.
Yeah.
Very interesting things happening with zoning and building and bills having to do with that, which we won't get to today. So, but stick with us and keep with Newsmakers for all this good stuff. Tomorrow, we have a lot of great guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. They're always booked out. But tomorrow, I'm looking forward to the Kaiser Mayor, Kathy Clark. And I've been waiting a couple of months to have Kathy on, and she will be great. So stick with us and listen to us tomorrow, Friday. All right, back to sales versus income tax. Yeah, and this is a tough one. This is a tough one because nobody likes taxes, right?
No.
Nobody loves taxes. I love paying this one.
I pay my fair share every year of my income tax.
Fair share. Try to define that. There's somebody who doesn't think you pay your fair share. I can guarantee you that. There's somebody who thinks you pay more.
I make a certain amount of money every year. I now pay a certain amount back to the government. That's my fair share.
All right, then. All right, and I referenced this.
Do you not feel the same?
Well, I have trouble with that phrase because there's no definition. It's like one of the questions asked of the speaker, Speaker Kotek, the other night was, what is affordable housing? We read about it in the paper. Politicians talk about it.
There's
always statistics about it. But he says, hey, and this is an intelligent business owner. Shout out to Randy Melton for asking the question. And hey, Randy, good question. And what is it for? Like, define it. And she didn't have a definition. Eye of the beholder kind of thing.
Right.
Although she gave a range in her mind. Anybody who's spending more than 30% of their income on housing or for roof over their head, that's considered affordable, but 50% is not. We'll save that for another day.
Okay.
Affordable housing. All right. From the Statesman Journal today, I'm going to credit and read the Statesman Journal because it's exactly the lie I was talking about last segment. Oregon's income tax, corporate income tax, has produced a diminishing share of state revenue. In the mid-1970s, corporate taxes provided 18.5% of income tax. Okay? Mid-70s, all the collections of income tax, 18.5% were coming from corporations.
Okay.
Today, it's 6.7%. They just let it hang out there. They don't explain why it's 6.7%. It's changed because of the change in tax law. It's not because corporations suddenly stopped paying.
Right.
All right. So there's the big lie. All right. I've teased it too long. It's kind of a blunt instrument, the income tax.
Yes.
Right. And there's a lot of potential for fraud. Right. And in Oregon, and one of our huge problems is that is so variable from year to year. If we're in recession, if we're in boom and all these things. So more steady, again, that smoothening effect of income tax collections is sales tax. All right. Reason number one. Let's assume it's not. There's no income tax, and you only have a sales.
Okay.
Okay. Every dollar you save is tax free. If you don't spend it, you didn't pay any state taxes on it.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So that is a built-in incentive for people to save, which we all should do more of, right? Reason number two, underground economy. You know anybody who does landscaping out of their truck, auto repair out of their truck, does any sort of small business and might do it for cash and may not be reporting all of that income.
Mm-hmm.
And paying their fair share of income taxes. People working on, I mean, of course, there's illegal activity and there's black market and there's and all that, but anybody who's working in a cash business can hide that and they don't pay their fair share. So the underground economy or the black market, whatever you want to call it, they're not paying any taxes. But if you have a sales tax, when they buy, then they're contributing.
This is true.
Yeah. So you make money and you're,
regardless.
Yes. And you're hiding it. You're in the underground economy and so forth. But when you buy.
What kind of
your
boom
TV,
do you think that would cause if they did that?
I don't know. It all depends on, you know, you're going to have to find. This is pretty theoretical.
Right.
But you'd have to find a rate that is somehow commensurate with the amount of money that was coming in from income tax. Now, reason number three, visitors. And I hear this a lot in the tourism business that the visitors don't leave money behind.
Right?
They'll pay the gas tax,
okay.
Right? And they'll pay
hotel tax.
The hotel tax, right? Maybe a rental car tax, but they're not paying any sales taxes.
Right.
And so we would collect a lot more money from our visitors who came because they'd be buying things and then they would pay taxes into the state coffers. And in Oregon, you know, that's an issue for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's like our visitors come, we got this tourism economy, and we're not able to grab as much economic development benefit for the state and for the citizens that live here because we don't get any money from visitors. Reason number four, which is actually the biggest one, other than people get to save tax-free and you get to tax the black market and you get money from visitors, is that you get a local option. Okay. So back when the Bay Area Rapid Transit went in the San Francisco Bay Area. It was paid for by, you want to guess, sales taxes. And each one had to be voted in by all the counties.
Okay.
Right? So in Oregon with the Great Divide, and here's where it locks into Western Oregon, Eastern Oregon, metro versus rural, is right now rural Oregon has to pay income taxes to pay for metro, Portland area priorities. Right? And that is a big issue, is urban versus rural in Oregon.
Right.
Where you have a national candidate winning every state but three and losing the state. Okay? When you have a local option, when you have sales taxes, you can have a local option. And if you want light rail from Eugene to Portland, you do it with the three or four counties that it intersects.
Right. Right. That only makes sense.
So the regional and the local voters get to decide. BART, referring to Barry Repetansit, didn't go to San Francisco International for a long time. And you know why? Because that county opted out.
Hey.
Right? It was supposed to circle the bay a lot earlier than it has. And that's because that county opted out. And eventually it does go to San Francisco International. But that whole county option, and it goes to voters, hopefully.
Right.
Do we want to go from 5% to 5.5% to pay for blah, to pay for what you name it, our priority in the Mid-Valley? And that way you're not unfairly taxing Klamath Falls and Burns and something we want in the Willamette Valley.
Yeah, if I lived way out there, I wouldn't want to pay the tax for that.
And I think it'd be an awesome world if we had light rail from Eugene to Vancouver. Not going to get it.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
We're not going to get it. How are you going to come up with the money? It doesn't make money operationally, so you have to build it with those billions of dollars, and where are you going to get the money to do it, and are you really going to tax people in Bend and Pendleton and everywhere else in Oregon?
That's still kind of like Amtrak, though.
But, yeah, Amtrak's nice.
It is nice.
Anyway, but with an income tax, with a sales tax, you could do that, right? So you get to save tax-free. Incentivizes saving.
Right.
You tax people who aren't paying any taxes.
That's a big one.
Both in terms of underground economy, black market, and visitors.
Yeah.
And you have the county option. And lastly, to the policymakers, it's more stable than income tax. They have the swings of money coming in and out are not as severe.
Right, because everything that's bought and sold pays the tax, and it's pretty consistent.
Right, because people are still going to go out and
get rid of that income tax. Get rid of the income tax.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So the reason why it's not going to happen is because the Democrats won't go without an income tax, right? And the Republicans won't go for a sales tax unless you eliminate the income tax.
That only makes sense.
So you're stuck.
Can't have double taxation, right?
You're stuck with the loggerheads. I don't know, did they outlaw the word loggerheads in Oregon as well, along with any economic development in logging?
Someday we're going to have to tackle the issue of, when you get a refund, you have to claim it and they tax it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's up with that? Double taxation without representation. I thought we got away from that.
That's right. And hands off our kicker, right?
All right. Yeah. Real quick, I'm leaving for vacation for about a week and a half. So have fun without me. And I will see you on the 26th.
Thank you, Dave. Have a great vacation. We will try not to get in trouble where you're gone, and stay on the air when you get back. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.